This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Jujus might know just what to do. They have an advice show, and they're like, Toda, yes, dude, even though the answer might rip on you. Told them that my main squeeze, I season all the riches and lights, they have waiting, anticipating, and facing, but he was a guy. Sometimes that's what I get being with a man so fine. That's what I would do if I were you. I would listen to these two Jews. Promise you'll listen to Amir. He's going to commandeer the attorney, and though they're over 30, still listening to.
She. That was Leah Banner.
Cool.
Who recorded that song.
I think a banner did.
Yeah, recorded in 2019, but since I'm old lady balls, I only now just exported it for us.
Whoa.
It was Leah Banner making a Lana Del Rey Blue Jeans parody. So there you have it.
That's right. That's why it was familiar. Very cool. Sounded great. Thank you.
Day one listener from, she went to two of our live shows in Seattle, but now she lives in San Diego, so please come visit.
Nice. Damn, we should. You and I haven't done a live show in a very long time, because we hadn't done a live show in a bit before lockdown. Now we've had one live show, but it was a HeadGum podcast.
That's right. A lot of pressure on the next one.
Yeah, I'm about to go on tour with NADPOD. So
what?
Like, you and I just haven't done shit. But
what do you mean? On tour with, like, what does that entail? If I were you, live show in different cities without me?
It's not another D&D podcast in different cities without you, but only because you're not part of that podcast.
I know, but I'm wondering why. What's the deal with this? What's the cities that you're even going to? Is it random shit like Transylvania, or is it like real cities that we used to go to?
It's real cities that we used to go to, but
really?
bigger theaters though.
No yeah. way. How could it be right. bigger if it's a yeah. different show?
Well, that show is it's more popular.
Famous. Than,
yeah, this show is actually.
I will open
kind of. It's like
for this, you.
This show is like my Boxcar Racer, and that show is my Blink 182. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like the prequel, the sort of shittier pre version. The mm-hmm. yeah, the show before the show. Like,
this is my side project at this point.
I'm
this
your side piece.
You are my side piece.
And Murph is your main chick.
That's correct.
That's really cool, actually. I always wanted to be part of an illicit affair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. It is cool.
Does he know about me? Does he go down on you at the venues?
You guys have to buy a ticket to find out.
If he goes down on Jake in the theater.
In Minneapolis.
It's in Minneapolis?
One of the shows is. We have shows in Boston, Chicago, and Minneapolis in January, and then
that's the Vancouver. Cold cities.
It gets,
you're doing it.
It gets colder. It gets colder.
Colder than Minneapolis in February?
In January. And it gets colder because we're going to Vancouver in February.
No, Vancouver's warmer than Minnesota for sure.
I guess you're right. But we're going further north later into the winter.
Yeah. And then you're going to Edmonton and Saskatchewan in mid-February.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to Yellowknife in March. Or is it Red Knife? There's one. There's some. It's the color of a knife up there.
There's a, you're going to Mexican Hat, Utah in the middle of March. Why did you guys choose those specific venues? That's just what the gods decided.
Yeah, that's it's what the agents decided. I don't know why the specific venues. I think it's just because they're big cities that we haven't been to in a long time. Like, we've done shows in Chicago and Boston, but not in a while. So we're
it seems
back.
Like the colder the venues, or the colder the cities, the better the shows. And like, the nicer the cities, the worse the shows.
Right, because maybe it's like in Minneapolis, there's not a lot to do in the winter, so you have to go to a big indoor thing.
Yeah, and it's like a nice reprieve, and like, everyone's fucking ready to laugh because it's been dark and cold for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but then you do a show in like San Diego, and no one. I always remember that LA sells pretty bad for shows.
Yeah, because there's so much other comedy to do. Remember our worst show ever, our worst selling show ever, where it was?
Oh, Honolulu, right?
That's right. If you go to Pure Paradise, nobody wants to go to a comedy show, of course. Right. Yeah, they're all just at a luau because it's nice out.
A comically bad show that we basically, that was like the price that we paid for going to Hawaii for a week.
Is we had to do a show for like 11 people, and then like,
I think
they
it was
had
more
to...
than that. It was like 70 people. It was small though. Yeah, it was like 70 people, and wasn't the venue, it was like a 500 person venue. It was 500 person capacity.
Yeah.
So it didn't look as empty as that sounds.
I guess
like capacity includes like standing room and bar. But yeah, it was fucking thin.
Yeah, but the city was great.
Yeah, that was where we met Sean.
Of course. Yeah, shout out to Sean.
Jost with the most.
So you either have a great city and warm weather and a bad show, or an amazing show in the middle of winter. Like our shows in Minneapolis and Chicago's were great.
Yeah, we had an amazing show in Minneapolis in November, and it was the next day it was 7 degrees. We literally couldn't stand outside.
Yes, I remember that. I don't know if it was November, was it? I remember there was a football game happening the next day.
Yeah, I think it was November. I'm pretty sure, like, because, well, I kind of remember being like, can you believe it's this cold and it's only November? It's fall.
Yeah.
It was technically fall.
And like the next day, they have an outdoor football stadium at University of Minnesota. So like they pregame or tailgate, then they go to the game and they stand outside when it's like 2 degrees out.
Yeah, that's correct.
I guess they're actually built different. That's why it works for them.
Like at that point, you probably have to have like a long john and a windbreaker. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure a little bit more than that. Your eyelids will freeze. So it's more than just a long john. And a windbreaker.
A mitten, I think.
No, more than a mitten. You need fucking propane socks and a tankless water heater on your ass.
Yeah, you're rolling it around in like a roller suitcase.
It really is the fastest way to warm up is to shove a boiling hot balloon up your ass. And then as it dissolves, it's like, it's almost like cooking a turkey, like cooking yourself from the inside out. But
like
you start with
yourself with boiling hot water.
Yeah. And it starts with your ass
your sphincter.
Specifically. Yes, exactly. Cause that's technically the center of your gravity.
I don't understand why we can't sell out venues like NADPOD can't.
It doesn't make sense because we're funny, but then we also have like some pretty interesting science tips with regards to shoving gravy up your ass. Yeah.
To stay warm in the autumn of Minneapolis.
Yeah, exactly. Is it cold there yet? Is it in the Northeast? It's still no, it's December now. Holy shit.
Yeah. It has been pretty, I mean, it's that thing where like it feels really cold because it's a lot colder than it was a few weeks ago, but it's still not as cold as it's going to get. It's like in the 20s and 30s with like, you know, low 30s with wind, and it makes you feel like, oh my God. But tomorrow it's supposed to be 60, so.
Oh, game over.
Yeah. I'm still going on bike rides.
I saw football highlights of a game in Michigan, and it was like driving snow.
My God.
Not there yet.
Yeah, not yet. There's been a dusting, but nothing that like stuck. Just some kind of flakes in the sky that you can see.
Oh, all right. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. We did a lightning round before Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Then Thanksgiving happened, but there was a bunch of questions we left. There was some meat left on the bone, as they say in Thanksgiving. Did you have a turkey on Thanksgiving, I should ask?
I did. I did have a turkey. I think I've said this before, but the bird gets smaller every year. Jill's mom cooks brisket, and that's what the day is all about for me. I put a little turkey on there just to like satisfy the Thanksgiving gods. You know, you have to do something.
Right.
It's tradition. It harkens back to my days as a youth, but really it's the least interesting thing out there.
Yeah, the least exciting part of the plate. Yeah. And then it just rolled straight into Hanukkah. Like, we really only have like three big holidays a year, and they're all in the same 4 week span for some reason. Thanksgiving, yeah, into Hanukkah, into Christmas, all within
tonight's
the
last night of
weeks.
Hanukkah. You know, I put up Christmas lights.
Christmas lights, yeah, or a Christmas tree? Now there's
lights,
a difference.
Lights, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's some kind of Jewish stigma against the tree.
Yep,
you're
I hate
very
the tree.
You're anti-tree. Anti-tree.
Grinch-level animosity, yeah, towards
Jill's
the
not
tree.
Jill is not at your level, but she is tree-averse,
of
to
course.
Be sure.
Yes.
She's not interested in the tree. It's
the
a
tree
nuisance
is,
to her.
The tree is a full hog. That's the final, mm-hmm, von Trier. The, yeah, Lars von, nice, Trier, actually, of it is
and
the tree.
Oh,
and,
the tree.
And it's the ornaments. The ornaments are the,
yeah,
next level
decoration
as well. Yes.
Yeah, there's accoutrement to the tree. Accoutrement is what they call it.
Yeah, that's right. But lights are a good gateway for the tree.
Would you say that's the,
like,
golden mic?
For what?
Accoutrement?
No.
In terms of ornaments and stuff that goes with the tree, because it's accoutrement. And accoutrement, like
I low pun. Key slash low tree like the Lars von Trier of it all more so
the
than the accoutrement.
The Lars, what did,
yeah,
you say? The
Lars von Trier, to make it a final front. Trier meets Lars von Trier.
What
he's
is
sort of a
who is
Swedish.
Lars von Trier?
Yes, he's a Swedish filmmaker, and his name sort of rhymes with front Trier, which is a portmanteau of frontier and tree.
Hmm. I feel like a accoutrement.
Yes, I know what you it. Feel. I know what you think. It's not even the end of the day. We're 10 minutes deep. You don't, yeah, have to decide yet. Put, cool, that in your back pocket for now.
Let's decide before the first break. But I think accoutrement is an early lead because,
sure,
I don't know who the Lars von Trier guy,
yeah,
even is. And I feel like it was, yeah, a little too deep of a pull. Almost a turdy level pull.
No way.
But let's.
You can't just say that he's turdy level because you don't know who this guy is. He's a Danish filmmaker, I should say.
So you didn't even know who he is because you said Swedish.
That's pretty fucking
or Finnish
close.
Or whatever.
No, I said Swedish. Yeah. I said Swedish, yes.
Yeah, well, he's a Dane.
He did Melancholia, if you know that movie, and
not
a bunch,
really,
of other movies you don't really understand. Yeah, it's sort of a little obscure.
Yeah.
To be sure.
to be sure it's obscure. Wait, so what we were talking, but we were talking about a tree. You don't,
oh, yeah,
like the tree.
Lights. Yeah, I don't do the tree. The tree is very American non-Jewish, so like it, mm-hmm, it rubs me the wrong way. It's not my family.
It's a decent, it's a you need everyone to be bought in on the tree.
Yes.
It involves, like, you bring a fucking tree into the house. And, like, that's a two-person job. You need some excitement.
Yeah.
And I want the tree. Jill would, she'd tolerate the tree.
She'll be fine with the tree, but she, yeah, won't be happy to hoist the tree and to ornate the tree. She actually,
right,
wouldn't even enjoy the accoutrement, I should say. The,
yeah,
accoutrement, but for the tree.
Yeah, that's almost what makes it not quite golden, Mike, because it's tough to say.
Accoutrement. Yeah,
like
accoutrement.
It makes me almost forget the word accoutrement.
Yeah,
But I don't know. I think it's a golden mic. Anyway, but she did help with the lights. She did help with the lights.
And the lights could be blue and white. They could vaguely even be Hanukkah lights if
that's
necessary.
Correct. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they look nice. They're pretty. They're outside. They're not tree in your house. But I miss the tree. I want the tree.
So you're not doing the tree. You are doing the tree.
At this point, I don't think we will, because I feel now we're going away on like the third week or the second, you know, we're going away at some point in December.
Yeah,
so
you don't
need it. If we weren't going to have it for the past week, now at this point, it's just giving ourselves, it's not enough time. Next year, I'm going to do the tree.
You can do a stocking. I'll give you a fucking red sock at most. And if that's too much, then I can give you a pink sock. If you know,
nice,
what that is.
I do.
That's actually when you're, yeah.
That's a fucking turdy for you, because that's fucking foul. You've been talking a little too much about ass play since the beginning of this. You're talking about putting a boiling hot balloon in your ass, and then you're talking about giving me a pink sock. And I feel like it's just uncouth, man. You're too old for this shit. Grow up.
It is tacky. You're right. Especially around the holiday season. Tis the squeezin'.
Yeah. Tis the
squeezin'. Tis the squeezin'. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, basically when you have a pink sock, your colon sort of wraps itself around this tube situation, a tuber, kind of like a radish or a yam, a garnet yam, or a can. Any canned yam will do. And it'll sort of create this suction of sorts that'll turn your whole shit inside out. And
you're saying you'll do that to me instead of a stocking. I could have either one of those things.
Yeah, like you either get a stocking stuffer or you get stuffered, if you know what I mean. So no. Those are your two options. I'll give you the red sock or the pink sock, basically, as it were.
I'll take the red.
Yeah, the stocking one, because that one just, you get like little
That one gifts. Doesn't involve you putting a can of yams in me.
Here's a quick one just to get us started. We should say this is If I Were You, the only advice show, I guess, on the internet. Although it's fucking barely that, the threat of any sanity semblance association with advice is slowly leaving the window.
For sure, for sure.
There was one question that I think we brought up before. Maybe this guy's referencing it. Let me look up to see who wrote it. But it was basically, can you put cranberry sauce on... here we go. Jay Sizzle. Can cranberry sauce go on spaghetti?
This is like, because we answered another question that was like, can you put cranberry sauce on anything?
Is that
possible?
Yeah, it's come up before. The idea of like cranberry sauce in a sandwich, how ketchup is not that different from the cranberry sauce, and yet the idea of cranberry sauce on spaghetti is kind of gross, but maybe it shouldn't be.
I think it's I think cranberry sauce on literally anything is gross. I think it's a foul sauce. I think it's way too sweet. I don't like mixing that with
meat. It's tart.
Yeah.
It's tart is the issue.
I don't really like to fuck with fruit and meat together, you know, essentially at all. Like I barely like a slice of apple on a sandwich or something.
Yeah, what about like a pineapple on a pizza? Salad?
No fucking chance.
Really?
No chance, no.
Interesting. So you don't like a fruit and meat to meat?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, there's
a grilled pineapple on a Hawaiian burger.
Yeah, not, I mean, I've had that and I would like, you know, put prosciutto on melon and I'd have the grapes in the chicken salad.
Yes, the Waldorf.
Like, that's nice. But I don't think that like I crave that in any way. No part of me is like, oh, thank God there's fruit in here. And there's only a couple instances where I think it's fine and a lot of instances where I think it's
a pear and a bear.
Like eating bear meat?
Yes, like eating bear meat. Yeah.
Can you eat bear?
You can't, but you can, but you shouldn't, and you probably won't. Unless it's Iceland or Alaska.
Bear. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but yeah, interesting. Because I feel like, you know, people that hunt deer or moose, you would eat that.
Yeah, venison for sure you eat. A deer and a beer. Not really a fruit, but it does
what
still
a fine
rhyme.
Combo for sure. Yeah. For sure.
But people shoot bears and they don't really eat them. Kind of a waste of killing an animal, if you ask me.
For sure.
Cranberry sauce can go on spaghetti, but you wouldn't like it.
No, I think that's... I actually find that to be despicable. I think it's really disgusting.
Yeah, cranberries are very polarizing. Like, you never see them anywhere in the wild. They're always sauce. Like, you see raspberries, blackberries, blueberries. They're in salads. They're in fruit salads. They're in smoothies. You rarely see a cranberry in the wild.
Yeah, I totally concur. And... like I think it's more of a flavor than an actual like berry. I'm gonna just kind of look at what a cranberry looks like, because
it looks like a blueberry, but it's red. I don't even think you can get them at Whole Foods. Like, I think it's always like frozen or a puree or a sauce. Like, you're never getting a bag.
Is that because they're too tart?
I think they're too tart. Like, if you've ever had unsweetened cranberry juice, it's almost like it's so dry and salty. Mm. And tarty.
I see. It's and I don't think that's good. That's not what you would want to put on pasta. It's like putting your pasta into Jell-O. It's like not a flavor that you want.
Yeah. So I'd be intrigued, but ultimately I'd be not into it. Yeah, I guess
I'd agree.
It's a super fruit, I guess. I don't know. I think you have to add a lot of sugar to it to make it palatable. Maybe that's why.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sana.
Wait. Let's take a break and then answer more questions. We really have to put a break in here right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, let's say, let's thank some sponsors and we'll be back with more questions, specifically the one Jake was about to start. Yeah.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, help.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, help.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back.
Now,
do you have unsolicited? Have we talked about Theraguns before?
Oh, I think we have. I think we have. I'm pretty sure I gave the unsolicited advice to get a Theragun. Said that I was using one.
I was visiting a house last week, and the owner of the home had a Theragun. I tried it. It was great. Made me want to look up. I guess Theraguns are pretty expensive, but like you can't patent it. So a bunch of people just made knockoff Theraguns that are pretty affordable. And I think I'm going to cop a Theragun.
Yeah.
Or generic equivalent.
Right. They're nice to have. It feels good. It's a nice like little way to give yourself a massage. You know?
Are you using it?
Especially if you have
still?
A loved one. Like they can up and down the back, that feels really, really nice. I still use it.
All right, cool. Okay, quick unsolicited Theragun, because we might have said it before. All right, what's the question?
I also have unsolicited actually.
Oh.
Because I don't know. Well, it's tough because not a lot of people have access to this kind of thing. But I've personally just gotten into saunas recently. So there's
another
sauna
sort of muscular rest device.
Yeah. There's a sauna at my gym, and I never was into the idea of it before. It always just seemed like uncomfortable, but I've been doing it for the last like few weeks, and it's kind of a game changer.
Sauna really is the dry one and steam room is the wet one.
Yeah. I think steam room, that one seems tough. It's hard to breathe in a steam room.
Like it's humid almost like an oven. You walk in there and you can hardly breathe and you're just drenched in sweat instantly.
Yeah. The sauna is just really hot, but you can kind of breathe. It's dry, but that's okay.
Yeah.
But then you break a sweat and it just feels so good. It starts pouring off your body and it's great. It sets you up for the day.
Do they have one at your gym? How are you going to a sauna?
Yeah, they have one at the gym. It's just like on the roof at the gym.
You know, people are starting to build some, like you can get like a telephone.
I looked into a personal booth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much like the Christmas tree, Jill's not going to let me put a sauna in the backyard.
Interesting. But yeah.
I feel like I could wear her down on that one because they are great. And it's not like they're so inaccessible. Like my gym's not an expensive gym and they have a sauna there. There's definitely like there's cheap places that do a sauna.
Yeah. And saunas can be high key, high gi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They can.
They can be high key, high gi.
Yeah. Well,
what do you think of that?
I feel like you're fishing for the golden mic.
No, I'm actually not fishing for anything. I'm just saying, what do you think of that?
You're a little too focused in Scandinavia this episode.
That's absurd. I'm focused in Scandinavia.
Yeah, what does the Frontier guy.
Yes, he's a Danish director. High gi.
It's also, by the way, it's pronounced hygge. So it's not like
it's high key hygge. Hygge.
Uga.
Yes.
So Heige is not, it's frankly, it's a turdy for mispronouncing it to the extent that you did.
It's actually not pronounced frankly. It's pronounced Frinkla.
Really?
Yes. Frinkla, Hicka, and Higa. It's how you pronounce all those things. But I'll let it slide.
Sana asks, Jake, where did
Sana?
You get Sana? Sana. Sana.
Holy
wow.
Shit.
That's crazy. They ask, where did you get the shirt you're wearing in Costumes Part 4?
What the and fart? Do you remember
I
that?
I don't know. That's why I was curious. Costumes Part 4, Jake.
That's the one we shot recently.
Oh, so I'll definitely know where the shirt is from. Let's see. Let's add playing. That's fine.
Yeah, that's a few cents into our pocket, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Whoa,
which is
we
good.
Have fucking two ads. What are we fucking?
So and nuts. A mid-roll. Yeah, and then there's also a banner over our faces.
I see. 90-second unskippable ad. You love to see it. Oh, that's this is one of my favorite shirts. I actually wore it last night. It's from Brixton. Brixton, folks.
Is it a T? What is it? A button up?
It is a long sleeve button up, mustard / rust colored.
Rustard
with a blue highlight. That's tough to see in this video because it's a little dim on the day. But that's okay.
Brixton.
Yeah.
All right, you got that?
Brixton.
Yeah. Sorry about that, aka Yimsta Art writes, when making a sandwich, what order do you place the meat, cheese, condiments, and veggie? I rarely think about the order.
I think I don't know if this is optimal, but I know the order. I always do the condiment first.
Yeah, then you I spread that.
Yeah, then I do the meat. I basically build it from the bottom up. And so then it's like, after that, then it's the cheese.
And do you rub the cream on the bottom and top slice of the bread?
Yes.
Are you a double condomizer? Yes.
I like a dressed sandwich, for sure.
So you apply the lather, you cream and slather, and then you'll do the meat, and then you'll do the greens?
Yeah, then the meat, then the greens, then the tomato,
wow,
then the cheese.
I'm rarely putting a tomato in my sandwich. I'm ordering it, but I'll never like slice one up and add it to my own personal.
Yeah, yeah. If I'm like making a quick sandwich, I won't. But if everyone's making a sandwich, you know, like that moment where we're like, oh, we're going to the beach, we're all making a sandwich, and all of the ingredients are out, and there's kind of like a sandwich assembly line. I'll tag in on a tomato.
That later. Awkward moment when everybody's making a sandwich.
It's not an awkward moment. It's kind of nice. A lot of energy in the kitchen.
fuck, man.
That could be a funny Jake and Amir episode. It's like we're on a triple date for some reason. There's no explanation. It's me and a girl, you and somebody, and then a third couple. We're all fucking in the kitchen making sandwiches, you know, like everything is good. The day is getting set. We're all finally
we're
awake,
go on a
drinking
hike,
the coffee. Yeah, everyone's listening to music. Yep.
An Airbnb for the weekend where we picked up some sandwich fixes.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I ask for an ingredient or something that's fucking bizarre. And that sort of derails the entire mood of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Do we have eggplant? The song just happens to stop, like somebody gets a phone call on their phones, like the song stops kind of like spiritually at that question.
Yeah, that's good. So it's like, it's almost like a record scratch.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, I was getting a phone call. What'd you say? No, did we get, who went shopping? Me and whatever, the third couple that's there that we don't even explain why they're there. We didn't get eggplant. Eggplant. Yeah, I was going to make like a eggplant, avocado, mayo.
Yeah, a BLT, but a BET.
Yeah, bacon, eggplant, tomato sandwich. And then she's like,
yeah,
I feel like I don't want to go. I don't think I want to do the hike anymore. What? Why?
That sandwich just kind of like... It made me, I lost my appetite and also kind of my will to live for the day.
It's fine. I'll go somewhere else. Do we have carrots, like soft carrots for the sandwich then?
I just want a soft vegetable I can bite into on the bread.
I'll do a Gouda soft carrot or something. Do we have any of that? No, man, we don't have soft... At this point, people are getting mad at me.
Yeah. That's good.
We don't have soft carrots. That's not even a thing.
All right. Forget it.
I guess it could be Lonely and Horny.
Yeah. Oh, God. See that? We should write another season of Lonely and Horny.
That's right. We do own the rights to... We're sitting on this fucking IP, not doing anything with it.
It's because Lonely and Horny is more expensive to shoot than a Jake and Amir. Because it involves a full cast.
Yeah. I mean, it's $75,000 an ep just to make it look good and long. That's not unsustainably so. We'll make a season instead of buying a mansion. We'll have a third season of Lonely and Horny.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be real into that. Most like TV shows cost like millions of dollars an episode. We could make Lonely and Horny cheap for fucking nothing.
We should say Lonely and Horny season 1 and 2 are available on our Patreon. So I don't know. That's something you want to revisit. We can even do a watch. We never rewatched it. Maybe we could do that. A rewatch. Oh,
that's a good call. Because you could also split those up. Like, because each one basically, I felt like Lonely and Horny, each one contained like 3 Jake and Amirs. That was like the
vibe. 3 longish scenes that hopefully had something to do with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Stay tuned for that. This is kind of a blue one. I don't know if you want to go this immature, but Reverend Sackett asked, what beverage would you most want to dunk your balls in?
Oh, that's definitely not as blue as it could have been, considering you were talking about like...
What do you want a teabag?
Pink socks earlier.
What do you want a teabag? Basically, do you want to go carbonated just to see what that would feel like? Would that be interesting to have a soda-dipped balls? Would you go warm like a tea, or would that be too risky because it might boil your eggs? Or would you want to keep it creamy for Mimi? I'll take oat milk chilled in a wide glass so that I can dip my balls in it.
Actually, it is too immature.
What? You're going to say that after I answered it?
You had me right up until creamy for Mimi, which was a lot.
Yeah, that was like 98% of it.
Yeah, even boiling your eggs. I was on board for that.
In fact, I liked it.
I hadn't considered the carbonation element of it.
Just out of curiosity.
That's fascinating to me. Yeah,
that's really interesting.
You get the snap, crackle, and pop.
you could actually put it in a bowl of Rice Krispies just to see what happens.
Whoa, that's cool.
A cereal or an oatmeal of sorts. He didn't rule out porridge. Technically not a beverage, but still interesting.
Right. Well, so then he did rule it out, right? Mm. When he said beverage.
For sure.
Try to pay attention.
Okay? A rice pudding, then.
Not a beverage.
A yogurt. Where did we land on go-gurt as something you can dip your balls into?
I would have to go... Go-gurt is not a food or drink.
Okay.
So I don't think it's allowed, because if it's not a drink, then it's not a beverage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, go-gurt's just a meal on the go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. Just fucking answer the question.
I'm saying LaCroix, the plane, because it lets you have the excitement of the carbonation, of the tingle on your dingle.
Yeah, a pamplemousse on your stomp.
Well, that's what I don't know if I want the flavor. I feel like that it makes me feel like it's a little stickier with the flavoring.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not. Maybe that's fine, cuz it's not necessarily sugar. Like you wouldn't want to go do it with Sprite, cuz you don't want the sticky nuts.
I think I'm going to be sick, but I remember there was a middle school phase. Tell me if it reached you guys back east, where teens would use Gold Bond. Remember that? Like the powder that you'd put on your nuts, and it's supposed to, like, it's either made for it and it like dries your balls so that they don't get stinky, or it's like made for something else and it gives you a tingly sensation on your balls. Gold Bond powder.
I know Gold Bond powder. We never like used it on each other. You're not thinking of like Icy Hot or something?
Maybe it wasn't. I mean, it was sort of the same thing. Yeah, talcum powder. And kids would put it on their balls and it would just feel like, ooh, oh God. Of course, I never did it. But yeah, like a menthol soothing powder.
I feel like you're thinking of Icy Hot. I had a friend that put Icy Hot on his balls and he like really, it was very, very uncomfortable. But talcum powder and Gold Bond and like, maybe there's a specific version of the powder that gives you the
cool feeling. Yeah,
the cool feeling. But I also feel like there's some of it that just is for keeping it dry.
I never use Gold Bond on anything. Have you ever used this powder, body powder?
Yeah, I had jock itch one time, like a few summers ago, and I used some kind. Maybe it was talcum powder. It wasn't baby.
Was it like where your thighs met your balls, or like on your feet?
It was like where my thigh met my ball, kind of.
Yeah. You also had ringworm and anal rosacea.
Yeah.
So you had a bunch of fucking skin maladies on your taint that year.
A parasite and pink eye. And my parasite had tapeworm.
Your brown eye had pink eye, if you can fucking believe it.
Nice.
Really?
No, I mean, you already won the turdy for the whole Scandinavia debacle.
Wasn't a debacle. I brought up a pretty interesting Danish filmmaker just to sort of class up this podcast because of this fucking
class up.
Every other question from you is fucking.
You're asking me where my jock itch was. You said, where was your jock itch? Was it on your foot? Like, you know where it is. You're trying to embarrass me. You're trying to embarrass me, and I won't be embarrassed. No, it's on my fucking grundle, man.
And that's the thing about us. We don't get embarrassed. Name that episode of Succession.
Oh, that wasn't that like two episodes ago? Shiv said that to somebody as like, that's my epic last line. And it's just sort of like, we don't get embarrassed is so shameful.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's kind of fucking lame, actually. You should feel shame.
We don't get embarrassed. Like, wow, so you kind of admit that there's many instances where you should.
Yeah. There's been two Successions episodes since your complaint of nothing really happening this season. Episodes ending where they start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have your complaints been quelled, or are you still feeling that?
I loved Kendall's birthday episode. I thought it was great.
Interesting. Because that episode did leave me feeling like nothing is really happening this season. Because like the threat of jail went away. The whole Kendall's trying to get the company back is fading away. It's like there's no large moving plot story anymore.
Yeah, I guess I like that episode just because it was such a, Kendall is like my favorite character. So any episode that's like explores his psyche to that level, I'm like fascinated by watching.
Yeah.
But I do agree that a lot of like Succession is just like setting something up and then sort of taking it back, or like a return to the norm.
Yeah, like choosing a president and then that just didn't ever come back in this episode, or like Tom is threatened to go to jail for 6 episodes, building. Oh, we got a phone call, it's not gonna happen. Oh, okay, that was fast. It right. just went Unless away instantly.
But to me it almost seemed like that could be like a false sense of relief. They're like, it's not happening, he celebrates, he's really happy.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna come back and be like, oh, actually it is happening. I feel like that could still happen.
But they used to do such a good job of like setting stuff up for like multi-episode or seasons away. And now it's like, we're meeting with this guy at the beginning of the episode. And then by the end, he's like the most important guy. It's like, where was this guy? Like, I've never heard of this thing, this app. Yeah. You guys are looking to buy an app? Like, that was fast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they just got that Skarsgård guy. Like, it feels almost like Skarsgård and Adrian Brody just like texted somebody and they're like, I love Succession. Can I do a cameo? And they're like, oh yeah, let's just make you a really important rich person for one episode. Because Adrian Brody's, that was his character too.
Yeah.
He was like, just played an insanely large shareholder that they needed to win over.
Yeah. So but then they didn't.
Yeah.
And then Skarsgård, he's very skeptical of the whole situation until Roman pisses, lets him piss on his phone. He's like, you know what? You're a good guy. Let's do this meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because I got to piss on your app. You think Which Roman really... has two phones, or what was the plan there?
I truly have no idea. It seemed risky to like leave it in the toilet because like phones are waterproof. Like his phone, someone could just pick that up and kind of use his phone to blackmail him or something.
There's lots of important data. Like, you should probably go back for that, Roman. But yeah, still enjoyable. Yeah. But I would say the first 2 seasons have been more compelling than the 3rd season so far. There's still, I think, 1 or 2 episodes left, right?
It's still great. I just think the show definitely like rests on its laurels of like making the, now it's like the fun and games part of a movie where we're just like watching the characters do stuff.
Right. Do you like the homoeroticism between Tom and Greg? It's very like they're lifting it, getting it more and more intense and close. I'm like, is something, are they going to fucking make out or something? What's going on?
Interesting.
Here?
I didn't even notice that.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Watch the last few episodes with that in mind. They like get very close at one point. Like, Tom actually kisses Greg like on the forehead.
Yeah, he kisses on the forehead. Yeah
but like he always like goes down to his bunker and he's like, I would castrate myself to marry you, Greg. Or like they want to wrestle and they like whisper into each other, and I don't know, it feels very romantic at parts.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Tom, to me, I'd always just felt like Tom is like some kind of like psycho playing mind games with him.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like, maybe the romance aspect of it is like something too.
Interesting. All right. How's the wheels turn? All right. Let's take another break and answer some more questions after these messages. Oh, there's another Succession tonight.
Correct.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. It's Embombre writes on Twitter. Can I be in charge of the HG Chicago office? Also, when will there be an HG Chicago office?
That's a great question. Maybe soon.
I mean, you romanticize new office locations nearly all the time. So if we have one in LA, one in New York, if HeadGum just becomes wildly internationally successful, we're raking in the dough and they're like, we got to open up a third office. Jake, where should it be? And will you help us move there and open up and set up the office?
Oh, I love it. I mean, I would want it to be London. I've talked about this many a time. This
is a British outpost.
This is why we've been working with more British comedians to bring the Brits on the network, like Sound Deals, Three Black Halflings, that type of thing. I would want it to be London, and I would love to set up that office, and I'd actually love to work out of that office from now on. That would be my goal. Yeah,
that's cool. Okay, so Chicago might not be the third city, but it's got to be one of the biggest American candidates.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be, I feel like we're, I mean, we had a Chicago employee until recently. Danny lived in Chicago. He was working at HeadGum.
And the Hey Riddle Riddle guys live in Chicago.
Yeah, I guess it's just like, it's less and less important to have an office in general. So I feel like we could easily have like a very widely dispersed team and still not have an office. Like,
yeah. It's the like offices, it's the physical space that's, it's cool to say you have a Chicago office, but then it's like, what are we going to tell people to go into a studio in Chicago? What if, what if nobody feels comfortable doing that?
Imagine if we had like four employees in Chicago, you know, to me, that's like the size of like a satellite office.
Yeah.
Would they even
probably
know?
Just work from home?
They just work from home. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it all depends on if this Omicron virus spreads or not.
Mm-hmm. We still don't know if the vaccines are effective against it.
We don't know if it's effective. We don't know how transmissible it is. But the science behind it is that it's dangerous. They basically took a picture of it and they're like, oh, this one's not good. We better hope this one doesn't spread. And then so far it's doing that, like, it's fine. Two people, four people, eight people have it, but it's probably fine. 16 at most. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was like, oh, I know where this is going. I get it.
I'd also do Fitzroy. Melbourne.
Melbourne, I saw, had some insanely draconian COVID measures recently. Like, you have to, like, literally stay in front of your house, and you can't even walk around. And when you're outside on your balcony, you have to wear a mask. Like, some really intense corona stuff. So maybe we'll do London first, and then if this new variant's not a big deal, we can do Melbourne then, a little bit post-COVID.
Then we go. That's cool. That's probably the move.
Yeah. Okay. So Chicago, maybe. London, hopefully. And then after that, Australia. You really just want to do global domination.
Yeah. And that'd be ideal. That'd be ideal. So if you're a listener that works out in London and you want to produce podcasts or make podcasts, definitely just let us know.
Another
Ideally,
option,
though, you're a salesperson. That's really what we need out there. The cash flow coming in. That's,
we need a
everything
person
else follows.
Emailing out of their house. But if we want to go real ham, we can choose a cheaper city and buy a studio. Mm. So it's like, oh, now we're investing in real estate. So like, if all goes to the fucking ground, podcast doesn't exist anymore. Scorched earth. Hey, at least we have this fucking building in Chattanooga, Tennessee or something.
Well, then, but I mean, I'd still like to be, I'd still like to have that Europe presence. So why don't we just go to Dublin?
Or okay, Manchester? A little more affordable.
So it's a little more affordable than London. But I honestly, I don't know how affordable commercial real estate is in any of these places.
Yeah, I guess we Maybe haven't looked at really... building a, buying a factory in Scotland recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do I buy a flat in Glasgow? A live work Glasgow flat.
Yeah. So I can sort of glass come and glass go as I please, as I see fit. We've never even been to Scotland, right?
No. No, we have not. And we've wanted to for many, many a year now.
Here's an interesting question.
Yeah.
At No Intelligence asks, if you could steal one trait / skill from each other, what would it be?
Ooh.
Steal a trait. Well, you already sort of cut your hair recently, so it wouldn't be my hair because you did kind of steal my haircut. You cut your mane short. We haven't really talked about that on the podcast yet.
Yeah, that was my Hanukkah present to Jill. I think we talked about that. I was thinking about giving her that for Hanukkah, right?
Yeah, and then what? So what happened? You walked in there and they said, "Oh wow!" And then you're like,
"I wrapped my head up in a scarf and a hat and a hood."
You did a reveal.
Yeah, and she unwrapped it.
So, wow.
Yeah.
And was she happy to see it?
She was happy to see it.
Was the barber happy to cut it?
He told me that he was doing a lot of those. He was like, I've been doing a lot of these haircuts, like the guys that grew their hair out during COVID coming
out. Now it's time to call it a day. Why did you decide now to say enough was enough?
I felt like it had grown as long as I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And it was kind of starting to be a little annoying. There was a time, I think over the summer, where it felt right, but then it grew a little bit longer and it was like, it would get knotty. It was like, I would take a shower and it would take a very long time to dry.
Yeah. Which when it's cold out is more annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also like, I think I just like got everything I needed from it. I didn't want to have like,
got it out of your system.
Yeah. But then I will say also, as the guy was cutting my hair, I was just like watching it all fall on the floor. And I was like, I shouldn't have done this. It almost feels like, just cause I get people like Jeff, my friend, Ben, my brother, like people I've seen since then have like, it feels almost like I abandoned the team.
Yeah. Like Jeff, they're all Jeff, still doing it.
Yeah. When Jeffrey James saw me, he was like dismayed. He was like, you cut your hair? It's like, we all have this contract that we kind of look bad and have long hair.
Yeah.
But
you abandoned ship.
I abandoned. But I mean, they look good with it. So I don't know. It was like clump. For me, it was like clumping on the sides and like falling over my shoulders in a way that made it look like I had pigtails all the time. So it's just like not worth the effort anymore.
Do you have gray hair? I know it's a little harder to see on blondes, but do you have grays like I do and it's just less noticeable?
No, I don't think I have any gray hair on my head. I have gray hair in my beard, but none of my head.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what that is about.
Huh. I guess when you're blonde, it doesn't really go as gray or it's not as noticeable.
Yeah. I'm more worried about my hair falling out than turning color.
Yeah. Okay. So what trait would you steal from me if you could?
I guess your thick hair.
Wow. I mean, it's not a skill. It's just sort of a genetic decision.
Oh, your ability to do math really fast.
Oh, you're that's
good
cool.
At math. Yeah.
Okay. So my hair and my arithmetic skills.
Yeah. Your hairline and your arithmetic.
What was that fucking? Why did you have to specify that? Like my hair is bad, but my line is good.
The gray ass Brillo pad. I don't want that.
You wanted lower. Yeah. You want a lower.
I want the low hairline. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I have to say that amongst all the weird genetic things that I may have won or lost along the way, the hair one is probably puts me in like the top second percentile.
Yeah. It's like a rare thing that also like comes into play later in life that you don't really realize. Like when everyone's in their 20s, everyone's got like, you know, thick, pretty good hair. You're not really thinking about it falling out or thinning.
Yeah.
And then when you're in your 30s, there begins to be a separation.
I would sacrifice some of it for height. I would sacrifice some of it for jawline. I would sacrifice some of it to look like a better man, to have green eyes.
What kind of deal would you make? Like, I think for me, it's like my thing that I have going is the height. And it's like, so if I'm 6 feet, would I give an inch to get the perfect hairline?
Yeah.
And would I give 2 inches to get abs?
Oh, wow, like, a six pack to be 5'11".
At 2 inches, I'd be 5'10". So 5'10 with abs. I think I make that deal.
Yeah, 5'10 is fine, I think.
Yeah. I mean, all the heights are fine.
Yeah.
They're all fine.
Well, especially if they're like the difference between 5'10 and 5'11 is probably not as noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to say you're six, that last inch that I just stopped short of, I would probably cut my fucking dick on for that.
Take the inches from my dick to add to your head, which you can do. You could castrate yourself and just sew on a little penis hat, and then that's you'll good. Technically be 6'2".
That's really
It'll
good.
Just be that you have a horn that's a cock.
So yeah, I would want your, I guess your teeth are pretty straight.
They're not though. That's a crazy thing.
Yeah, I was thinking recently how it would be interesting to feel, like, the way you feel you're with your tongue, the teeth in your mouth, if you could feel other people's teeth.
Yeah.
If you'd be shocked at, like, what's going on there.
That would be fascinating. It would be very, you'll never be able to, even if I licked the back of your teeth, I wouldn't have that same feeling.
And you have.
Yeah. We should say that I have.
Okay. I would take your, I mean, if, as long as we're doing like physical traits, I would be six. I would be 6'1". What, how tall are you? 6'1", 6.5"?
I think I'm just over 6.
It's great.
I wouldn't say
that's solid. Though. Sign me up for 6. Mm. And then in terms of like my math ability, maybe your like what are you good at intellectually? God,
I feel like I guess this you, is, you're like setting me up to insult.
Maybe I was gonna say math too, but that's me still.
Right, obviously, that's what I said for you.
That shirt's nice. The what was it? That's not like a.
Yeah, but that's like a physical. That's just a thing that I bought. We're talking about like traits. It's basically like, do I have something
your
about
appreciation
my...
/ understanding of poems? Because I, for one, don't care / get poetry.
Poems, yeah, that's right.
And you're sometimes eager to read and understand what these fucking these word soups. Like these things that are like being flowery in terms of language on purpose, a little cryptic to the point where I can't solve it like an equation. Mm. It frustrates and bewilders me. So I'll be 6.05 feet tall and I'll fucking read Robert Frost and enjoy it.
That basically was a poem, what you just said and did.
Holy shit.
It was beautiful, man.
You don't think... Should I fucking do an anthology or some shit?
The Final Front Rear.
That's the name of it. I sell one copy. What a fucking waste of time that was. I cannot believe I wrote these things for no one.
You sell it for $1 million, though.
Worth it. All right, that's it. That's our time. Thanks for emailing us / tweeting at us your questions.
Yeah.
Happy holidays to everybody. The email for address for theme songs and questions is ifireadyoushow@gmail.com. Opening theme song was by Leah Banner. And this closing one is by Evan, E-V-Y-N-N-E. How would you spell that? How would you pronounce that? Evan.
Evan. E-V-Y-N-N-E.
Yeah.
Evan?
Evan.
Yeah.
Evan. Yeah. It's like Evan with a cool... spelling of it.
I think I would say Evan, yeah.
Longtime listener, figured I should write a song. I mean, instruments are pretty gay, so I might as well put my homosexuality to use and give you some content. Any whore, hope you engorge and eat an orange. Signed okay. With love, your local lesbian Evan. How's that nice. For an intro?
It's perfect, thank you.
And we'll be back, I'm sure, next week, as always. And for more of us, you can watch us on Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
Hell yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be back soon.
Peace.
Bad joke, no bad you. I'm fucking with you, dude. It's just a gift from Spotify to YouTube. We're on to load to share on to the store on if I were you. Send in your questions to ifireadyoushow@google.com. Have questions or so. Jake and Amir can keep up their content, so we can all listen in with these gems. If I were google.com, if I were you podcast.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.